Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
You just thank God for the rain. It's been coming down. What a blessing. And my son David, he's three. He's really creative when it comes to words. So this morning he made a new word, which I'm willing to share. If you want to use it, he said, "Why you asked me about the sumbrellas? Sumbrella. So that is a combination between sombrero and umbrella. Which I think it's pretty cool. So it could be a South African word." Any case, great, it's a new year, and what a blessing is expectation, new things happening. We've got, it's always a blessing to have, hopefully most of you have had a rest, and it's great to just come into the new year with an expectation that God is with us. I mean, that He's good things in store for us. And that we can really trust to walk in those things. I want us to have a look at Joshua chapter 1 and take it from there. Now, context here is that Joshua has been serving Moses for a long time. He's been assisting Moses. He's been in the thick of things. He's been very faithful. And now, there's a massive shift happening in the life of the nation of Israel. They've been traveling through the wilderness for 40 years. They've been through a whole bunch of things. A whole generation has come and gone. And now Moses has passed away. And Joshua is taking the lead. And that in itself must have been very daunting for him. I mean, to follow somebody like Moses, to step into his footsteps or into his shoes must have been really daunting in itself. The mission is clear. The Lord, they're at the Jordan. They're about to enter the promised land. It's been coming a long time, and this is the massive thing that's happening. And not just in terms of Joshua, but in terms of the whole nation of Israel. So let's just have a look at from verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them. As I was with Moses, verse 5, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And then he goes on, he repeats himself again, he says, be strong and be very courageous. And what a blessing, what an amazing encouragement and an affirmation from the Lord saying, I am with you. Just as I was with Moses, I am with you. I will not leave you, I will not forsake you. And at the beginning of the year, I believe truly this is something God wants to impart and speak over each one of us. I'm with you. I will not forsake you. Be strong and give good courage, yes, and be very courageous. And he repeats himself a few times, so clearly it was needed. Courage was needed. Strength was needed. But he says, be strong and very courageous. And I want to speak that over us. And I want you to receive that God is with us. As the psalmist writes, David writes, he says, the goodness and mercy of God will follow me all the days of my life. Isn't that true? The goodness and mercy of God follow us. I mentioned this morning, but every time I read that scripture, I'm reminded of my first mission trip to India a couple of years ago now. 2004, around there. Anyway, and we were still getting used to the whole mission ministering and that part of the world thing. It was the first time Shofar took a team to India. But it was really exciting, and the God did really amazing things. And we learned the importance of praying for your food. You know, it's sometimes here we just, you know, say it as a habit, but there it's really important to pray for your food because you don't know what's going to happen when it comes. And then, yeah. Have you heard of Deli Belly? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I had really hardcore intercessors praying for me because I never was sick, and I've been on mission there 4 times. Praise God, eh? I shouldn't have said this now. Hopefully I haven't jinxed anything, but no, I'm just kidding. But yeah, so we had a great time, and we had a rest day. I think we were in Mumbai, or it might have been Bangalore. But we had a rest day, and we were just doing some shopping. We wanted to buy something to take to our prayer partners and stuff like that. And we did. We made the rookie mistake. Okay, let me just share this with you now, so that you don't make the same mistake. But there's a lot of guys there that want to sell stuff to you, and it's amazing stuff. Some of the stuff is really cool, handmade, hand-carved stuff. And I mean, this one guy had this little chess set, or this little—I can't remember exactly. I think it was a chess set that he carved out of wood. It looked amazing, and we made this mistake of looking interested and saying, that's cool, although we were probably not going to buy it. We were just saying, yes, this is really cool, well done type of thing, but we're not interested. Bad mistake. So this guy obviously felt that he's got a sale to make here, and he stuck with us for the rest of the day. And we traveled quite far, and we went quite a long way, but he was right here, in my shadow, the whole day. We went into a shop, he would be there at the door, and then we would come out, he would be, you know, ready. And, yeah, so that's what the goodness and mercy of God is like. Amen? You can't shake it, guys. It's there. Doesn't matter what you do in the morning when you get up. The mercy and the goodness of God are there. And we'll lie down or raise up, and wherever we go, in and we go on the road, wherever you are, know that His goodness and mercy will follow us. Amen. And obviously not in a bad way, in a good way. But I want us to trust God to have that expectation of this year, that we can, even in the good things, even in the tough things, that we know that He's with us and His goodness and His mercy follow us. Guys, this is just to maybe challenge some of us, is that often it's when our circumstances seem not to reflect this truth, it's important for us to say, Lord, I experienced a tough season now, where this is the tough situation that I'm in, but I believe that this is still the truth. And sometimes it means we need to just pray, and Lord, ask God to help us to see His goodness again. Help us to recognize His mercy. Recognize it because it's there. Amen? Are you with me? All right. So Joshua is taking the lead. He's leading the nation into the promised land. And God affirms him in this very powerful way. But now for him to have a confidence like this, and have a confidence and receive this affirmation, there's something very important that needs to happen firstly. And that is for Joshua to have a confidence and a conviction of the purpose and will of God for him and for the nation of Israel. You agree? So in this case, it was clear, right? It's been coming for 40 years. They know what God has promised. They know God has affirmed the promise to them. And now it's time. Now it's time for them to cross the Jordan, to enter the promised land, and it's happening. The thing that God has been talking about for years, the old generation, the guys that have been growing up in the desert, kids that have been born in the desert have heard of this promised land, and now it's here. So that's the first key, is for us to have a knowledge and have a conviction of the will of God. And I want to encourage us, if you haven't had time, or if you haven't got around to it, take some time out in the next couple of days or the next week or so, and say, Lord, just take time, schedule it in, make an appointment, do what you need to do, but get into the presence of God and ask Him for a word, ask Him for a promise, ask Him, just engage with God about His plan and His purpose for you, for your family, for this year, for your workplace, for what He has prepared. Just, it's so important for us to take that word with us into a season. Maybe you're entering into a new season. Now, some people are starting work or starting a new season in their lives. Take that word. Trust God for the word. And write it down and make sure. Because that thing is that it's not in the good times that we need that word. It's when it gets really tough that we need that word. Amen? It's when it gets rough and when things start wobbling a bit, or we get a speed wobble, or the wheels come off, or something goes wrong. It's then that we need to dig out that word and say, you know what, this is what God said. Yes, He wants me to go across this Jordan. Yes, He wants us to take on the giants. Yes, this is what we need to do. Confidence in His will, confidence in His purpose. So that's number one. Is for us to respond in obedience. First, we need to know what the will of God is. So I want to re-encourage you, take time out, hear from God, pray, allow God to speak to you in the Scripture, allow God to confirm it in various ways. He speaks to each of us. His word says that His sheep hear His voice. Amen? And He knows how to speak to each of us. So take time out to do that. And once we have that conviction, once we have that word and that, then we can, with confidence, walk in this knowledge that, yes, God, I'm in the center of His will. He's with me. He's gone before me. He's coming behind me. His favor surrounds us like a shield. He covers us from every side, and He has prepared the way. Amen. So there's a confidence, there's a conviction, and out of that place of conviction, we can walk in obedience, and we can walk in the fullness of what God has prepared for us. And I want to really encourage you, if you're in a leadership position, if maybe you're in a small group facilitator, or in fact this year we're trusting to take some strides forward in terms as a church, as a body, to really get to a place where we get closer to the reality that each member is a minister. Each member has a place where they can minister, where they can impart to others. Because this is not just for the professionals with the mics, right? Sometimes we think of it like that we get professional Christians. But we're really trusting God this year to get to a place where each one of us can be a disciple and can make disciples. Okay, so as you're seeking God, pray about that. Lord, who have you put around me? Who are the people that are already close to me that I can be a blessing to? Who are the people that are maybe in my office or in my class or where I'm staying? Who are the people close to me or accessible around me that I can really be a blessing to, that I can minister to, that I can minister your love to? So pray about those things, and I believe you'll be surprised. Once you pray those kind of prayers, how eager God is to respond. So these are the people. This is the guy that you need to encourage or that you need to engage. Amen. So let's hear from God. Let's push into His presence and let's trust Him to direct our steps. Okay, now firstly, the confidence of His will and His purpose. Let's go on to Joshua chapter 3. Now the Lord has given them some instructions here. And let's take it from verse 3. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. And you know what happened there? As the priests entered, as their feet touched the water, as they entered into the river. Now, the river was in flood at that stage. Okay. So it wasn't just a stream of 3 meters or so. The Jordan River in flood is quite a sight and not something that you can cross afoot. Okay. And the scripture actually says it was in flood. And they actually walked into the water not knowing what was going to happen. But as their feet touched the water, God stopped the water upstream and allowed them to pass through the river. And so we see incredible detail in the instruction that God gives. I want to really encourage us to seek God's face. With, ask Him, trust Him for detail. Lord, what have You prepared for my family, my relationship? What have You prepared this year for my workplace? Maybe there's a new season for you in your work or in studies or something like that. And maybe that's for you because He says here, He gives him specific instructions, and then he says, take note of these things because you have not gone this way before. This is new ground. This is a new thing for you now. And how often do we tend to, when there's a new season even, we tend to rely on our education or experience or just common sense or just trying to figure stuff out as we go along. Nothing wrong with that, but we tend to kind of exclude God from the thing until we're halfway. We've already knocked our heads a few times. We maybe got lost a bit. We got disorientated. But I want to really encourage us. If you're entering into a new season, God wants to give you direction. He wants to give you wisdom. He wants, by the Holy Spirit, He wants to give you detailed instructions at times when it's needed. And trust God for that. Have that expectation. But humble, it takes some humility to say, Lord, listen, Lord, I haven't gone this way before. Trust You that You would direct my steps. I trust You. You know, we speak a lot about words of knowledge, but one of the gifts is words of wisdom. It's where God gives us practical wisdom for everyday life. Okay, we can trust God for those. And then a very key thing happens here. Joshua says to the guys, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So that's one of the second keys that I want to look at, is for us to, at the beginning of the year, to make a decision to sanctify ourselves, to spend some time in consecration and sanctification. Say, Lord, pray through what's lying ahead, or we don't have all the detail, but say, Lord, I bring myself before You as a sacrifice of praise and worship, and consecrate myself for Your purpose and Your will. And it's so important that we do this, not as a once-off, not as a quick prayer at New Year's or somewhere near the beginning of the year, but really make it a lifestyle, make it a habit of in the place of consecration. And those things go together. When we move in obedience and we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, there's a place where the presence of God really manifests itself. Living in obedience and consecration. So he says, but in the same place, he says, listen, guys, there's something big is going to go down. God is going to do amazing things among us. So prepare yourself. Consecrate yourself. Sanctify yourselves. I want to really encourage us that at the beginning of this year, do that. Spend some time. We're going to spend some time praying at the end as well. And have communion together. But in our hearts, we set ourselves aside. We consecrate ourselves. We say, we look at the definition. I had it here earlier. Means to consecrate means to make holy or to dedicate to a higher purpose. Another one says here, devote, dedicate, consecrate, to set apart for a special and often higher end. There's a place where we choose. And this is the most powerful thing that God has given us, our will. We enact our will and we decide, Lord, my family, my marriage, me individually, as an individual, I consecrate myself. I set myself aside for Your purpose and for Your plan. Let Your name be glorified. Are you with me? It's very quiet. There's at least one person there that's with me. Amen. Okay. To move in obedience and this aspect of consecration, sanctification to the will of God, to the purpose of God. Okay, let's go on. I want to look at the life of Gideon for a moment. Judges chapter 6. Read from verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came, just the context here. So the Gideon was basically hiding in a wine press, threshing wheat that wasn't going well with the nation of Israel. They were in bondage now to the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord comes and speaks to Gideon. Angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to them, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did the Lord not bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "O Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." And we see a couple of things here. Now, yeah, it's just when I had this picture came up in prayer, we had a retreat with the pastors and the staff of the northern region, all the shofar churches in the northern part of the country, which is from Bloemfontein up. So anyway, we cover quite a large area. In any case, so we had this time together, really blessed time, and there's such an expectation of what God has prepared for us this year. It's really a precious time praying together and strategizing, and I want to really encourage you to join us at the fast and the prayer that's coming up. I really believe God has got great things in store for us. And so important for us to be on board, to be on the same page around that. Okay, so this came up in prayer, and the picture that I had was that some of us find ourselves in a bit of a pit. Gideon was in this pit. He was hiding, basically. He was in fear. He was... And we can see from his response to what the angel of the Lord is telling him, what God is saying to him, this, you know, this is not making sense. You know, he's like protesting, you know, he's like, "No way, this can't work." He's got this whole list of reasons why. And I just felt some of us maybe find ourselves in a similar situation. And it's necessary. And I felt God wants us to make a sober assessment of where we are. Just to take time out and as we're praying and seek God, to say, "Lord, where am I at in my relationship with you? Am I sitting in a pit? Am I in a bit of a place of being distracted by the stuff of the world? Have I been caught up in so many things that I'm kind of bound by stuff, and I need to deal with some things?" And I really felt God wants to call us from that place. In Gideon's case, he had to deal with a few things. Firstly, obviously, he was very hesitant. You know, he's giving all the reasons why he shouldn't do what God is saying. So maybe if you found yourself in this situation, you've got good company. God doesn't only use perfect people. Amen. He uses anybody that makes himself available. So Gideon is hesitant. Gideon's got lots of excuses, but God encourages him, says, "I'm with you." He doesn't really pay attention to his complaining, as you can notice there. But Gideon had to deal with some very specific things. Firstly, he had to deal with fear. He had to deal with fear of man. He had to get out of that pit, and he had to go and deal with the idols, which was idol worship was a big reason for where the bondage they were in at the moment. And maybe I felt in my heart that God wants to challenge us to make a sober assessment. Where am I at? Has something in my life been consuming me to such an extent that it's become an idol? Has in this past year, maybe 2016 has been a rough year for you. Maybe there have been some tough challenges. Maybe there have been some low lows. And if that's the case, I want to really encourage you to just take stock and say, "Lord, where am I? Have I got hurt a bit? Have I struggled through these things? And is there something that I must lay down? Is there something that has been consuming my life to a point where I need to actually put this into its right place again, so that Jesus can come again in his right place?" Amen. What for me is powerful is that the Lord calls Gideon, and he calls him mighty man of valor. And Gideon's like, what, me? He's kind of looking behind him type of thing. And that's so powerful about when God calls us out of that pit. He doesn't say, listen, I know you're not much to look at now, and it's a bit, I don't know what we're going to do with this situation. God speaks what is not yet visible, what is not yet manifested. Amen. He says, and I believe that's his word to many of us here this evening, mighty man, mighty woman of valor, come out from that pit. Come out from those distractions. Come out from that thing that's been consuming your life. Come out from that place where you're not hearing me, where you're not really engaging my heart. Come and re-engage with my purpose, my plan. Guys, I such a great time of the year is to for us to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I want to just recommit. I want to re-consecrate myself. I want to refresh my heart and my mind and my spirit fixed on you, fixed on your purpose and your plan. Amen. Are you with me? Okay. So I really believe that's a word of the Lord for some of us here this evening. Mighty man, mighty woman, come out from that pit. Come out from that place. And come and hear my voice. Come and receive again my encouragement, my affirmation. It's interesting how when we go through tough seasons, we often tend to pull back. And it's the times when we need the most encouragement, when we need the most affirmation from God. We need to hear what He has to say. But somehow we pull back and we tend not to hear. So I believe God is saying, come out of that place. Come and receive my love. Come and receive my affirmation. Come and receive my encouragement. Amen. Okay. All right, let's carry on. I just want us to briefly look at two very specific places in Scripture also. One was with Moses in Exodus chapter 3, where Moses is fled from Egypt and he's in the wilderness and he's basically tending sheep, his father-in-law's sheep. And this is the moment where everything changes. And it's not like Moses has been deliberately approaching God and praying or seeking His face. This is a place where God wants to meet with Moses. Okay, so let's look at verse 2 there. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses says, I will now turn aside and see this great sign. Why does the bush not burn? Why the bush does not burn? So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. And I want to actually look at another place in the life of Joshua, just a little bit on from where we read last time of Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. It came to pass when Joshua, now they've spent some time to consecrate themselves, they've crossed the Jordan, they're in the promised land now, they're about to take on Jericho, they're readying themselves for battle, they've gone through a process of circumcision, they've been covered and they're ready to take on Jericho. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with the sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. Joshua did so. And we see these incredible moments here where both Joshua and Moses aren't looking for God in this specific moment. They're not, it's not like they're in prayer, asking God, inquiring of the Lord, they're doing their thing. And then God comes and beckons. And I really felt in my heart that God wants to encourage us this year to not miss these moments. Not maybe when you and I are not necessarily seeking Him deliberately, you know, obviously that's a daily thing. But those moments when God calls us to Himself, those moments when He wants to impart something. And I found, and as you've seen with Moses and Joshua here, that this is maybe an unexpected moment for Moses, but everything's changed after that. He's met with the living God. God says, don't come too close. This is holy ground. It's a holy moment, a precious moment where God imparts His heart, where God imparts His purpose, where God imparts, in the case of Joshua, He says, I have come as the commander of the armies of the Lord. Yes, you guys have got your structures and your army and stuff, but I am the commander of the armies. And I'm coming. So, a transforming moment for both of them. A moment where nothing can be the same. When they've met face to face with the angel of the Lord, when they've met face to face with God. Holy moments. And it's so important for us to be soft in our hearts, attentive to the Holy Spirit. But when those moments happen, that we are ready to, as it were, to take off our shoes, and to recognize the preciousness of the moment, to recognize this is holy. Something precious is happening. Sometimes these moments happen in church, sometimes out there somewhere or in small group. It's so important for us to say, Lord, to be ready to respond when God beckons. When He draws us and He calls us to come. And I really believe that as we bring our hearts before Him, He wants to give us soft hearts to be sensitive to His voice, sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Ready to hear, ready to respond. And those moments, if we receive them for what they are, we will never be the same. Are you with me? Amen. So, let's trust God that we would be attentive and ready and not miss these moments. Amen. Okay. I want to quickly look at something from from the book of Acts. So, we're praying, we're seeking God's face about this year. And if you've had a tough year again last year, maybe you know this is something for you. For Acts chapter 4, from verse 27. Now, the context here briefly is that apostles have been preaching the word. They've seen God do incredible things. They've seen signs and wonders, miracles. And just before this, the persecution and the resistance against the word has stepped up. And they're beginning to really experience some heavy resistance and some persecution. Peter and the guys were put in jail, and they'd just been released, but it's becoming real now. Yeah, they're really getting some serious opposition now. And they came together, and they're spending some time in prayer, and this is where we take it from verse 27. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. I believe there's a place at the beginning of the year when we spend time in consecration and sanctification, when we say, God, yes, it hasn't been easy, but grant your servants that with greater boldness we may walk in your purpose, with greater boldness we may speak your word. And it's such a powerful moment here. The whole place is shaking with the presence of God. And the Holy Spirit comes upon them anew, because they had been filled with the Spirit. But a fresh Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they speak the word with greater boldness. I feel for many of us, it's an apt time of the year to say, Lord, fill us afresh with your Spirit. Fill us with a greater boldness. This year, we want to reach more people than we've ever reached with the Word. Amen. This year, Lord, I'm trusting to be a laborer in your harvest field. Give me greater boldness. Fill me afresh with your Spirit. I need your presence in my life. I need that place where the presence of God is manifested in my life and through my life. There's a precious moment in the Old Testament where Solomon has built the temple and it's been completed and it's been an incredible journey and is basically the first service is happening and there's basically a consecration of the temple and the whole place is filled with worship and people are worshiping in one accord and with one voice with worshiping God. And in that moment, the glory of the Lord fills the place like a cloud. Heavy cloud. People have to fall on their face. Nobody can carry on what they're doing because the presence of God is so heavy in the place. That's what happens when we walk in obedience and we walk in consecration, that the presence of God is manifested. Amen. And right here we see the same thing. They're consecrated to the cause of Christ. They're being persecuted for following Jesus. But in that place of consecration and obedience, they're seeking God and they're pushing into His presence. Say, Lord, grant us greater boldness. And the presence of God fills the place. If the building shakes. So I really have in my heart that we take time out and say, God, we trust that you would direct our steps. We trust that you give us grace to move in obedience to your call. And with that, Lord, we consecrate ourselves and we need your presence and we need this manifest presence in our lives and through our lives. Amen. And I want us to take some time now to take communion. And we're going to pray it for each other together. The guys can bring the communions along. I just want to close with two scriptures before we have communion. 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Again, speaking of the being set aside. But for what purpose? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We've been set aside. We've been called. We've been called to be different. We've been called to be consecrated, set aside for His purpose, so that everything we do will proclaim His praise and His glory. And also from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So I want to really challenge us, myself included, with this, that at the beginning of this year, that we say, Lord, what kind of vessel have I been? I have a desire to be a vessel of honor. I have a desire to be useful, sanctified and useful, ready, prepared for every good work. So as we're going to pray together, I want us to pray through this, to basically pray prayers of consecration as we take communion, pray, you know, set our hearts aside. If you're going into a new season, pray that you consecrate that to the Lord. But really just to make a conscious decision to say, Lord, I want to be a vessel of honor. As Joshua says, as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That your will be done. Lord, not my will, but you know, and this is so important for us to acknowledge, Lord, I've got plans for this year. And those are good. It's good to have dreams. It's good to have plans, ambitions. I've got these plans, ambitions. But what a precious place where we say, Lord, I lay them down. Your will be done, not my will. This is my plan. This is my ambition. This is my dream for 2017. But I choose, Lord, to lay it at your feet and say, Lord, let your will be done. Let your name be glorified. In my life, through my life, in my marriage, in my workplace, in my relationships. Let your name be glorified. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you that you know every heart and every person in this place so intimately. Thank you that you know the number of hair on our head, Lord. You know our thumbprints, and you know every detail. So much better even that we know ourselves. You know us. I just feel, as every eye's closed, I feel some here that struggle to believe this. I feel God is wanting to reach out to you this evening, saying, my child, I love you. I know you. I know your fears, and I know your dreams, and I know the deepest desire of your heart, more than anybody else. I have good things in store for you. I have good plans. As Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can open our hearts to receive your love, to receive your grace. I thank you, Lord, that by the blood of your Son, Jesus, you've opened the way. You've made a new and living way for us. That you've taken us from darkness into your marvelous light. That you've taken, Lord Jesus, taken every sin upon yourself. You've taken every curse. You've taken every infirmity. You've taken the very curse of sin and death. And you've taken it upon yourself. You've won the victory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that you paid the highest price. You sent your only Son. Because you love each one here, each one of us, so much. Thank you that at the beginning of this year we can declare that we boast in nothing but the cross and in Christ crucified. That we don't rejoice in anything or nothing more than the fact that our names are written in the book of life. That we've been bought with a price. That we are no longer our own, Lord. We've been bought with a price. Thank you, Lord, that this gift of salvation is for every soul.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363. Email us pretoria@shofaronline.org. Browse our website www.shofaronline.org or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.